I didn't realise it at the time, but I actually went for an interview with the Scientific Civil Service in Britain, and ended up being interviewed by Walter Lawrence of PAT fame in speech synthesis. That didn't have a great impact at the time, but I was later that year given an opportunity to do a PhD in a new multidisciplinary program at the University of Kiel in the UK, under the supervision of Professor Donald Mackay. He was very much into human sensory processing of various kinds, with a heavy emphasis on his work, in fact, in vision. It just happened that he had a postdoc who had previously done a PhD under him in the vision area and was returning from a postdoc in the US, and this was Bill Ainsworth, who recently has left us, unfortunately. And so we put together a small speech group, and I started working in 1964 looking at very primitive forms of speech analysis. We had no computers then. We had simply the best we could do with analog electronics. And so not being even an expert in electronics, but learning as I went along, really I got involved in doing things which were little more than the processing of microphone signals, looking at the time interval structure of speech, and generating patterns on cathode ray oscilloscopes, and using photography, and then visual comparison between sounds, and looking at the variability that occurred and the consistency that also occurred with different vowel sounds. And it was mostly vowel-based analysis mm-hmm. at that stage. So that was how I got into it, and I completed a PhD in 68 in that area.
Great. You mentioned analog hardware. What kind of hardware did you?
Oh, we were just on the change from valve-based electronics into transistor work, mm-hmm. and there was very little transistor expertise around in the laboratory where I was working. So it was basically looking at measurements of the time interval structure of clipped speech.
Mm-hmm. And clip speech.
Yes.
Why were you interested in clip speech?
Well, I mean, the earlier work by Leclider and Co., had showed the intelligibility of clip speech. So we knew that there was information there. Of course, we may rather naively at that point thought, it must be in the time intervals, mm-hmm. Ignoring the fact that in fact, there's a fair bit of formant information available, mm-hmm. Given and the formant harmonics by the clipping, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it was really driven by the limitations that we had and how we could process things. Mm-hmm. I don't recall there being anything, not at that stage, even like filter banks around for us to use. Mm-hmm. And I guess funding wasn't all that plentiful. So, raw research students were thrown into the lab with a bundle of components and boards and mm-hmm. batteries and
good wishes
to see what you could do uh-huh. and. So we did this, and we published a paper in 1965. My first exposure to the international community was in 1965, which, looking back, was really quite early.
Yes.
We went to the International Congress on Acoustics in Liège, and was rather, again looking back, amazed to realise that a fellow student and I actually managed to sit next to Homer Dudley on a bus on an outing. And so we had the opportunity to connect with one that we now recognise as a leader in the field way before we actually got into it. Wow. Also, Jim Flanagan was there as a relatively, not junior, but sort of certainly rising star.
Right.
So I remember those people.